L'Enchanteresse. Read. Mist crept over the cemetery. The headstones, ancient, crumbling, their names long lost to the elements, pierced the sky from where we stood atop the cliff's edge. Even the sea below fell silent. In this eerie light before dawn, I finally understood the expression, silent as the grave. Coco brushed a hand across tired eyes before gesturing to the church beyond the mist. Small, wooden, part of the roof had caved in. No light flickered through the rectory windows. It looks abandoned. What if it isn't? Beau snorted, shaking his head, but stopped short with a yawn. He spoke around it. It's a church! And our faces are plastered all over Belterra. Even a country priest will recognize us. Fine. Her tired voice held less bite than she probably intended. Sleep outside with the dog. As one, we turned to look at the spectral white dog that followed us. He'd shown up outside Cesarine just before we'd agreed to travel the coast instead of the road. We'd all seen enough of La Forêt des Yeux to last a lifetime. For days, he'd trailed behind us, never coming near enough to touch. Wary, confused, the Matagal had vanished shortly after his appearance. They hadn't returned. Perhaps the dog was a restless spirit himself, a new type of Matagal. Perhaps he was merely an ill omen. Perhaps that was why Lou hadn't yet named him. The creature watched us now, his eyes a phantom touch on my face. I gripped Lou's hand tighter. We've been walking all night. No one will look for us inside a church. It's as good a place as any to hide. If it isn't abandoned, I spoke over Beau, who started to interrupt, we'll leave before anyone sees us. Agreed? Lou grinned at Beau, her mouth wide, so wide I could nearly count all her teeth. Are you afraid? He shot her a dubious look. After the tunnels? You should be too. Her grin vanished, and Coco visibly stiffened, looking away. Tension straightened my own spine. Lou said nothing more, however, instead dropping my hand to stalk toward the door. She twisted the handle. Unlocked. Without a word, Coco and I followed her over the threshold. Beau joined us in the vestibule a moment later, eyeing the darkened room with unconcealed suspicion. A thick layer of dust coated the candelabra. Wax had dripped to the wooden floor, hardening among the dead leaves and debris. A draft swept through from the sanctuary beyond. It tasted of brine, of decay. This place is haunted as shit, Beau whispered. Language. Scowling at him, I stepped into the sanctuary. My chest tightened at the dilapidated pews, at the loose hymnal pages collecting in the corner to rot. This was once a holy place.
It isn't haunted.
Lou's voice echoed in the silence. She stilled behind me to stare up at a stained glass window. The smooth face of Saint Magdalene gazed back at her. The youngest saint in Belterra, Magdalene had been venerated by the church for gifting a man a blessed ring. With it, his negligent wife had fallen back in love with him, refusing to leave his side, even after he'd embarked on a perilous journey at sea. She'd followed him into the waves and drowned. Only Magdalene's tears had revived her.
Spirits can inhabit consecrated ground.
Beau's brows dipped. How do you know that?
How do you not? Lou countered.
We should rest. I wrapped an arm around Lou's shoulders, leading her to a nearby pew. She looked paler than usual, with dark shadows beneath her eyes, her hair wild and windswept from days of hard travel. More than once, when she didn't think I was looking, I'd seen her entire body convulse as if fighting sickness. It wouldn't surprise me. She'd been through a lot. We all had. The villagers will wake soon. They'll investigate any noise.
Coco settled on a pew, closed her eyes, and pulled up the hood of her cloak, shielding herself from us. Someone should keep watch. Though I opened my mouth to volunteer, Lou interrupted. I'll do it.
No,
I shook my head, unable to recall the last time Lou had slept. Her skin felt cold, clammy against mine. If she was fighting sickness, she needed the rest. You sleep. I'll watch. A sound reverberated from deep in her throat as she placed a hand on my cheek. Her thumb brushed my lips, lingering there, as did her eyes. I'd much prefer to watch you. What will I see in your dreams, Jazz? What will I hear in your...
I'll check the scullery for food, Beau muttered, shoving past us.
He cast Lou a disgusted glance over his shoulder. My stomach rumbled as I watched him go. Swallowing hard, I ignored the ache of hunger, the sudden unwelcome pressure in my chest. Gently, I removed her hand from my cheek and shrugged out of my coat. I handed it to her. Go to sleep, Lou. I'll wake you at sunset, and we can... The words burned up my throat. We can continue. To the chateau. To Morgan. To certain death. I didn't voice my concerns again. Lou had made it clear she'd journey to Chateau Limblanc whether or not we joined her. Despite my protests, despite reminding her why we'd sought allies in the first place, why we needed them, Lou maintained she could handle Morgan alone.
You heard Claude.
Maintained she wouldn't hesitate this time.
She can no longer touch me.
Maintained she would burn her ancestral home to the ground, along with all of her kin.
We'll build new.
New what? I'd asked warily.
New everything.
I'd never seen her act with such single-minded intensity. No, obsession. Most days, a ferocious glint lit her eyes, a feral sort of hunger. And others? No light touched them at all. Those days were infinitely worse. She'd watch the world with a deadened expression, refusing to acknowledge me or my weak attempts to comfort her. Only one person could do that. And he was gone. She pulled me down beside her now, stroking my throat almost absently. At her cold touch, a shiver skittered down my spine, and a sudden desire to shift away seized me. I ignored it. Silence blanketed the room, thick and heavy, except for the growls of my stomach. Hunger was a constant companion now. I couldn't remember the last time I'd eaten my fill. With Truc de Fortune? In the hollow? The tower? Across the aisle, Coco's breathing gradually evened. I focused on the sound, on the beams of the ceiling, rather than Lou's frigid skin or the ache in my chest. A moment later, however, shouts exploded from the scullery, and the sanctuary door burst open. Beau shot forward, hot-footing it past the pulpit. Bumfuzzle! He gestured wildly toward the exit as I vaulted to my feet. Time to go! Right now, let's go! Stop! A gnarled man in the vestments of a priest charged into the sanctuary, wielding a wooden spoon. Yellowish stew dripped from it, as if Beau had interrupted his morning meal. The flecks of vegetable in his beard, grizzled, unkempt, concealing most of his face, confirmed my suspicions.
I said get back here!
He stopped abruptly, skidding to a halt when he saw the rest of us. Instinctively, I turned to hide my face in the shadows. Lou flung her hood over her white hair, and Coco stood, tensing to run. But it was too late. Recognition sparked in his dark eyes.
Read Diggory.
His dark gaze swept from my head to my toes before shifting behind me.
Louise LeBlanc.
Unable to help himself, Beau cleared his throat from the foyer, and the priest considered him briefly before scoffing and shaking his head.
Yes, I know who you are too, boy, and you,
he added to Coco, whose hood still cloaked her face in darkness. True to his word, Jean-Luc had added her wanted poster beside ours. The priest's eyes narrowed on the blade she'd drawn.
Put that away before you hurt yourself.
We're sorry for trespassing. I lifted my hands in supplication, glaring at Coco in warning. Slowly, I slid into the aisle, inched toward the exit. At my back, Lou matched my steps. We didn't mean any harm. The priest snorted, but lowered his spoon.
You broke into my home.
It's a church. Apathy dulled Coco's voice, and her hand dropped, as if it suddenly couldn't bear the dagger's weight. Not a private residence, and the door was unlocked.
Perhaps to lure us in, Lou suggested, with unexpected relish.
Head tilted, she stared at the priest in fascination.
Like a spider to its web.
The priest's brows dipped at the abrupt shift in conversation, as did mine. Beau's voice reflected our confusion.
What?
In the darkest parts of the forest,
she explained, arching a brow,
there lives a spider. Who hunts other spiders? La Chanteresse, we call her. The Enchantress. Isn't that right, Coco?
When Coco didn't respond, she continued undeterred.
L'Enchanteresse creeps into her enemies' webs, plucking their silk strands, tricking them into believing they've ensnared their prey. When the spiders arrive to feast, she attacks, poisoning them slowly with her unique venom. She savors them for days. Indeed, she's one of the few creatures in the animal kingdom who enjoy inflicting pain.
We all stared at her, even Coco.
That's disturbing,
Beau finally said.
It's clever.
No,
he grimaced, face twisting.
It's cannibalism.
We needed shelter, I interjected, a touch too loudly, too desperately. The priest, who'd been watching them bicker with a disconcerted frown, returned his attention to me.
We didn't realize the church was occupied. We'll leave now.
He continued to assess us in silence, his lip curling slightly. Gold swelled before me in response, seeking, probing, protecting. I ignored its silent question. I wouldn't need magic here. The priest wielded only a spoon. Even if he'd brandished a sword, the lines on his face marked him elderly. Wizened. Despite his tall frame, time seemed to have withered his musculature, leaving a spindly old man in its wake. We could outrun him. I seized Lou's hand in preparation, cutting a glance to Coco and Beau. They both nodded once in understanding. Scowling, the priest lifted his spoon as if to stop us, but at that moment, a fresh wave of hunger racked my stomach. Its growl rumbled through the room like an earthquake, impossible to ignore. Eyes tightening, the priest tore his gaze from me to glare at Saint Magdalene in the silence that followed. After another beat, he grudgingly muttered,
"When did you last eat?"
I didn't answer. Heat pricked my cheeks. "We'll leave now," I repeated. His eyes met mine.
"That's not what I asked."
"It's been a few days."
"How many days?"
Beau answered for me. "4." Another rumble of my stomach rocked the silence. The priest shook his head. Looking as though he'd rather swallow the spoon whole, he asked,
"And when did you last sleep?"
Again, Beau couldn't seem to stop himself.
"We dozed in some fishermen's boats 2 nights ago, but one of them caught us before sunrise. He tried to snare us in his net, the halfwit."
The priest's eyes flicked to the sanctuary doors.
"Could he have followed you here?"
"I just said he was a halfwit. Reed snared him in the net instead." Those eyes found mine again.
"You didn't hurt him."
It wasn't a question. I didn't answer it. Instead, I tightened my grip on Lou's hand and prepared to run. This man, this holy man, would soon sound the alarm. We needed to put miles between us before Jean-Luc arrived. Lou didn't seem to share my concern.
"What's your name, cleric?" she asked, curiously.
"Achille,"
his scowl returned.
"Achille Antier."
Though the name sounded familiar, I couldn't place it. Perhaps he'd once journeyed to the Cathédrale Saint-Cécile de Césarine. Perhaps I'd met him while under oath as a chasseur. I eyed him with suspicion. "Why haven't you summoned the huntsman, Father Achille?" He looked deeply uncomfortable. Shoulders radiating tension, he stared down at his spoon.
"You should eat," he said gruffly. "There's stew in the back. Should be enough for everyone."
Beau didn't hesitate. "What kind?" When I shot a glare over my shoulder, he shrugged. "He could have woken the town the moment he recognized us."
"He still could," I reminded him, voice hard.
"And my stomach is about to eat itself," he finished. "Yours too, by the sound of it. We need food." He sniffed and asked Father Achille, "Are there potatoes in your stew? I'm not partial to them. It's a textural thing." The priest's eyes narrowed, and he jabbed the spoon toward the scullery.
"Get out of my sight, boy, before I change my mind."
Beau inclined his head in defeat before scooting past us. Lou, Coco, and I didn't move, however. We exchanged wary looks.
After a long moment, Father Achille heaved a sigh.
"You can sleep here, too. Just for the day," he added irritably. "So long as you don't bother me."
"It's Sunday morning." At last, Coco lowered her hood. Her lips were cracked, her face wan. "Shouldn't villagers be attending service soon?"
He scoffed. "I haven't held a service in years."
A reclusive priest. Of course. The disrepair of the chapel made sense now. Once I would have scorned this man for his failure as a religious leader, for his failure as a man. I would have reprimanded him for turning his back on his vocation, on God. How times had changed. Beau reappeared with an earthen bowl and leaned casually against the doorway. Steam from the stew curled around his face. When my stomach rumbled again, he smirked. I spoke through gritted teeth.
"Why would you help us, Father?"
Reluctantly, the priest's gaze trailed over my pale face, Lou's grisly scar, Coco's numb expression, the deep hollows beneath our eyes and the gaunt cut of our cheeks. Then he looked away, staring hard at the empty air above my shoulder.
"What does it matter? You need food. I have food. You need a place to sleep. I have empty pews."
"Most in the church wouldn't welcome us."
"Most in the church wouldn't welcome their own mother if she was a sinner."
"No. But they'd burn her if she was a witch." He arched a sardonic brow.
"Is that what you're after, boy? The stake? You want me to mete out your divine punishment?"
"I believe," Beau drawled from the doorway, "he's simply pointing out that you are among the church, unless you're actually the sinner of this story. Are you unwelcome amongst your peers, Father Achille?" He glanced pointedly at our dilapidated surroundings. "Though I abhor jumping to conclusions, our beloved patriarchs surely would have sent someone to repair this hovel otherwise." Achille's eyes darkened.
"Watch your tone."
I interrupted before Beau could provoke him further, spreading my arms wide. In disbelief, in frustration, in everything. Pressure built in my throat at this man's unexpected kindness. It didn't make sense. It couldn't be real. As horrible a picture as Lou painted, a cannibal spider luring us into its web seemed likelier than a priest offering us sanctuary. "You know who we are. You know what we've done. You know what will happen if you're caught sheltering us." He studied me for a long moment, expression inscrutable.
"Let's not get caught, then."
With a mighty harumph, he stomped toward the scullery door. At the threshold, however, he paused, eyeing Beau's bowl. He seized it in the next second, ignoring Beau's protests and thrusting it at me.
"You're just kids,"
he muttered, not meeting my eyes. When my fingers wrapped around the bowl, my stomach contracting painfully, he let go, straightened his robes, rubbed his neck, nodded to the stew.
Won't be worth eating, cold.
Then he turned and stormed from the room.